You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Yeah, that day after we drove back from that meeting, it was actually Phil Driscoll meeting that.
Oh, I met him. That's a horn player who used to play with Earth, not Earth, Wind.
Phil and I were friends, and he actually offered me a job as his pilot. I met him in Honduras when he was doing some work with refugees.
What a humble guy.
Yeah. So,
we exalt.
So, Lainey said, driving back from that event, she said, And Phil, he had an altar call, and people came up, and her husband, yeah. Tim, they went up, and they received Jesus. She said, you know, the sky was so much bluer, and the trees were so much greener, you know? And
it's hard to explain that to people.
And just a few months ago, on the island of Utila, where we have a Rio Coco Cafe, we had a guy named Ethan, who's from New York. Ethan came down. We had some conversations with him. Daniel and Jake encouraged him to really start asking the questions. Jesus, are you real? And Ethan started asking the question. And during a flight on his way to Santiago, Chile, he had a conversation with Jesus and said, okay, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And he sent us this voicemail. He said, I just received Jesus as my Lord, and all of a sudden, everything is so intense. I've got so many questions. I just something has changed in me.
Yeah, there you go.
And I remember my daughter, Moselle, when she came back from an encounter that we were having at our church, and I think she was probably 10 or 11. She came back, and she looked at me, and she said, everything has changed.
This is your daughter.
Everything is
different.
How
old is she?
She was probably 10 or 11 at the time.
So she got born again at 10 or 11.
And she has consistently walked that out. But those were her words. She just looked at me with all sincerity. Everything has changed.
Isn't that wonderful?
And what I notice is...
To see your child
born again. I notice another thing that happens to people is suddenly life becomes very dramatic. Because they realize they're living in a spiritual world where all the people are being pulled away from God, and there's eternal destiny at stake here. And
for those who like Star Wars, this is the real Star Wars, the dark force.
This is very, very real. So there's things that happen. I think one thing that I noticed is there was somebody that was nudging me. It was like the Holy Spirit was constantly, there were thoughts coming at me that were not coming before.
Yeah.
And I felt like somebody was kind of messing with me, you know, my normal flow of life was suddenly interrupted with these other, because now I was connected to the consciousness of God. I had his spirit in me, and now I'm knowing God's thoughts because he knows my thoughts. And so I think this is a common experience that we have. The other thing I noticed too is I did not mind spending time alone talking to God.
Yeah.
And that's really surprised me.
Well, I keep bugging him. I talk to him constantly and say, look, I want a closer relationship. This has got to get closer now. Come on.
And I notice another thing is that people start thinking not just about themselves, but more about the people around them.
Well, our joy comes in serving each other, right?
Yeah. Well, this is something that was totally foreign to me.
You said something the other day, and every time you say something, it's amazing because you said you thought, oh, wow. You know, it says in the Bible, not many noble, not many royal come to know the Lord. And you, I arrogantly thought, oh, well, you know, I mean, these Christians, you know, these weirdos that are, frankly, yes, that they were less than, that I felt that I was superior somehow.
Well, I think what I said was, Rhett, that when I became a follower of Jesus, I felt like he had made a good choice to have me on his team.
That's what I felt too.
And then I realized later, wait a minute, no. See,
we had somebody from India wants to know where we are. We are in Vero Beach, Florida, and we welcome you to our broadcast. And it's a Mahamuda Sultana, miss you. Great. She's in Bangladesh.
In Bangladesh.
You're listening to us in Bangladesh.
Well, aloha. Okay.
What does aloha mean?
It's a Hawaiian greeting for hello, goodbye, and love. So it's
love.
A multidimensional word.
We love you in the Lord Jesus.
So I think if you have not experienced these things, the trees, greener, the flowers more beautiful, the sky bluer, somebody's messing with me. Wow, I don't mind spending time alone. Life is more intense. There's a spiritual battle going on. I'm in the middle of it. All these things indicate you have had this born-again experience, and suddenly your thinking starts to change. And there are a lot of people in our churches that have never had that experience, but they consider themselves church members because they've been told, if you come to church, if you read the Bible, and if you, do good things, you go help out in a building project, you give money to the missionaries, you take time to go to feed the homeless. People can do that, but that's just behavior. And without the Spirit of God driving that, it becomes religious behavior. So,
yes, religion, this is very important. Religious activity will not save you.
Yeah. You want some more coffee, Rick?
Yes, please. This is delicious. It's from Uganda.
No, Rwanda.
Rwanda, excuse me.
Okay. So I think that's the...
Have you been to Africa?
No, I
went
not.
To Zimbabwe, gave a concert there years ago, and I used to travel around a little bit. Not like you. You're a real missionary. I was a pretend missionary. I'd only go for a couple of weeks at a time. Went to Haiti a couple of times. But anyway, welcome you, and you're on. She says, I'm working as a second position at DXN International Company to keep myself healthy, okay?
So that's the starting point. The starting point to be a disciple is this experience with God. And as we talked about just a few days ago, right?
Yes.
We talked about when Jesus spoke out the Sermon on the Mount and did that teaching, that he started off with the Beatitudes.
Yeah.
And the first one is, blessed is the poor in spirit, for they shall see.
Not poor in pocket, but poor, knowing you had need of a Savior, need of a relationship of the Creator.
Right. And so we talked about how the Beatitudes really are not individual virtues, but in fact describe our process of being poor in spirit, recognizing our need for God, of mourning and mourning the effects of sin in our life, and getting angry at sin. That word pratis, blessed are the gentle, or the meek. It's a Greek word that means getting angry for the right reason.
Now, where do you find that word?
In my Greek lexicon, and it's in blessed are the, it's the third beatitude, is blessed are the meek or blessed are the gentle.
Now, see, this is a big thing for me, the revelation I've had over the past, years.
We talked about this in our last session,
yes,
I think.
Gentleness.
So, knowing that you're desperately in need of God, you're mourning the effects of sin in your life, you suddenly get angry at sin and decide to do something. And now the fourth element, the blessedness, is you're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, because now you want to do it God's way. And the fifth characteristic is you're merciful, because you look around and realize that everybody's in the same boat that you are, so you're not judgmental anymore. And while this process is happening, the next ingredient is a purification of your heart, because there's a transformation going on, and there's... Finally, you recognize this peace that you have with God is something you're compelled to take it to the people around you.
Okay.
And so the Beatitudes really describe, I think, the initial process of us becoming disciples.
Okay, please tell me, what's the third Beatitude?
Meek or gentle.
Okay, but say the whole thing.
Blessed are the meek.
Blessed are the meek or the gentle.
It's translated meek or gentle.
Because it is written in Samuel, thy gentleness hath made thee great. So I was thinking about that.
This is the beginning of discipleship, is recognizing our desperate need of God, the effects of sin in our life, mourning those effects, desiring God's righteousness, looking around and not being judgmental because everybody's in the same boat we are. We're realizing that there's a transformation that's going on in our hearts. We're becoming a new creation, a kanos kistis, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
What does that mean?
A new creation, a previously unseen biological creation that comes from God himself. That's what kanos kistis means. And so this is the beginning. This is when we actually can have the assurance that we are in the family of God and that we have made Jesus the Lord of our life. Now, what do we do with that, Rhett? What do we do?
It's hard to know.
The Bible tells us, Jesus tells us very clearly. The first thing that he addresses in the Sermon on the Mount is you are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world.
And salt preserves.
Well, salt gives flavor and salt preserves, but in the biblical mind, salt means loyal, faithful, unoffendable friends.
Because loyal, faithful, unoffendable friends.
Friends. Loyal, faithful friends. We get that because when God makes a salt covenant with the Levites in Numbers 18, he says it lasts forever. It does not change.
But let me, hold on, wait a second. But I have not been loyal. I mean, I got born again, and remember we both said we were cured of swearing. And for a year I didn't swear. Then suddenly I thought about swearing. Then I did it deliberately, and so I went backwards.
Okay, but Rhett, let's talk about this process.
And I went backwards with a lot more than swearing.
So we can...
No, but this is for the people out there that feel like me. We kind of, you know...
I know, I know.
We feel self-condemned, and we know that we're not, you know, perfect.
Well... That will be a topic for our next discussion. But I think it's important that we recognize that the disciple, this word disciple starts off with an experience of being born from above.
Yeah.
And there are certain characteristics to that experience that we can identify. And so I'm asking and you all to consider who are listening, has any of these things happened to you? If you have not seen the trees greener and the sky bluer, if you've not felt like you're suddenly life is more dramatic, if you don't enjoy spending time alone with Jesus, if you don't feel like somebody is messing with you and nudging you, if you don't have the Holy Spirit giving you inputs, if these things aren't going on in your life, if you haven't become more other-centered and you're still living a more of a self-centered life, then I would ask you to take a moment and to really ask the Lord, Lord, do I need something here that is going to really connect me with you? And I was just listening to one of my favorite teachers, Tim Keller, last night. And he was talking about the marks of revival and what he sees historically happening when revival takes place. And he said a couple things that were pretty significant. First of all, he sees three things that happen in a true revival. That first of all, that the Christians who are dozing off suddenly get wakened up and they recognize their calling, they recognize the situation that they're in, and they're recognizing how God wants to use them, and they start allowing themselves to be used more.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
High priest of God and the king of all kings.